I would be able to deepen the work that one has done for 5 years in the province that I served, the rural Limpopo, and all other 8 provinces where the chairperson would have asked us to go and serve. I also believe that I have an opportunity, chairperson, to ensure that I mentor the up-and-coming men and boys who are in the gender space, to ensure that the language is, in fact, the language is the same in terms of equality, so that we do not regress. As I speak, chairperson, there are a lot of men's organizations that are coming up, like your Not In My Name. And these are young people that I think that I would love to invest my next coming 5 years in the Commission for Gender Equality to ensure that these young people, as some of us go off the stage, they are able to carry on with the work, which I think is very important, the work that says that violence against women or sexual violence, rape, and inequality generally, it is not a women's problem, it's a societal problem. And I think that I would really love the opportunity to ensure that the work that I think the CG has done for the past 5 years should continue. And lastly, chairperson, for what one would call for memory or institutional memory, chairperson, to ensure that we continue in ensuring that we raise the banner of anti-violence, anti-misogyny, anti-sexism, and anti-sexual harassment, all of those, chairperson, that makes women to be at a coalface of violence, that I think that I would love to ensure that South Africa continues to put women at the center and men as allies to the gender struggle. But I also believe that women must continue to lead the struggle and as men, because it's a very privileged struggle, it's a very privileged space for us to be not only followers but allies to the women's struggle, chairperson.
Yeah, I want to take advantage that you've been working with the men campaigns, but I want to hear from you. I take advantage that because you were there, you know, so when you were there, we need to hear many things from you. How do we ensure that our boys become the best men and fathers of tomorrow?
Thank you, chairperson. I think that it has to start from crèche, from what the madrasas, those that are of Islamic belief, or from our Sunday schools, or from the Jewish communities. So chairperson, we have to talk to boys about respecting the girls' bodies, so that we change the narrative that if instead of us saying that don't go at night because you'll be violated, you'll be raped, I think the message should be that don't violate her body, so that the focus is on the boy child, that you have a responsibility, as opposed to a young girl having to avoid being beaten or being violated, that from home, chairperson, which is, I think, for me, the crux of why we have, throughout the world and in South Africa, why we have this huge violence, in that, chairperson, we have not invested at programmatic level in engaging, at a focus level, in engaging the boy child at school, at home, at crèche, at the madrasa, all of these places, chairperson. It's going to be important for us to be focused on talking to them about respecting the girls' bodies, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Faner Merve, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Standa Marops, Honorable Seke, Honorable Velma, Honorable Mamstori, and Honorable Maluleka. Last one is Honorable Dr. Maisela.
Thank you very much, chairperson.
Honorable Timbogwa, you'll be number last, ne? It's okay.
Thank you very much, chairperson, Mr. Buerta. Hello and welcome. I think you are one of the commissioners that I always see on the TV talking to issues that affect women, and I think I really appreciate that, because whenever I'm opening my newspaper or I'm watching something on issues affecting women, you are always there vocalizing important issues, and I think that is very important that we do have commissioners who are able to do that, and I think it's a very good job that you've done so far. But my question to you is, what, in your analysis, is the reason why the Commission for Gender Equality, once you produce reports or make findings or give suggestions, why those are not taken on board by most government departments? Why is it that most government departments disregard the findings and the reports of the Commission for Gender Equality? And why is it that the commissioners have not been able to address the working relationship with government successfully in that regard? Why is it that you are seen not to have teeth? And if you were to go back, how would you address that? Also, the issue of the funding of the Commission for Gender Equality. In your 20-year review report, you highlighted the relationship with the state as one of the concerns, as well as the funding issue. If you were to be appointed to go back as a commissioner, how will you be solving some of these problems? What are your ideas around these issues?
Honourable Van der Merwe, in response to the first question about the teeth, I think that what we have not done in the past 5 years I've been at the commission is that we have not used, because if you remember the judgment of the public protector at the Constitutional Court, that our decisions or findings are in fact should be enforceable. If you don't enforce them, then you for judicial review. We have not been able to do it. And if you ask me, I think that there's been among us a caution to a fault. And a question to fold, and I think I've been one of those that can we test the veracity as to whether, is it true that as a result of that judgment, that indeed, and I've asked Marisa, our head of legal, that can we have a test case that would in fact check as to whether our findings are indeed enforceable. If not, then go to the Constitutional Court or go to the highest court in the land, Honourable Van der Merwe. But secondly, about funding, I think that, and probably we are precluded by the Act, I think that there should be programs that would allow us to have these special programs which would go out to fund us. But again, I think the Act, and I agree with the conundrum or the problem with the Act, in that if you go out and seek help from interested parties, then your independence gets diminished. So there has to be, if you ask me, there has to be an innovative, proactive way of an understanding that the country has its challenges in terms of the fiscals and but also I think it's going to be important for us to find out if there are organizations that would be well-funded, that maybe signing OMUs, members of understanding with them, but with the proviso that our independence is sacrosanct. So I think that's one way of approaching it. But lastly, Honorable Van der Merwe, I think that we have not, at the Commission, this is how the country regards issues of gender. There is this dismissive attitude that, look, the public protector, you'd find that the report and the what it would be, because it has to do with what one would call corruption or finance. But but how society regards gender, there is this that, but this is it's not an important thing. You know, it's a women's issue. So for as long as society sits up, when men have killed or when there's huge violence or you have caste, you have all of these in the news, then society stands up. I think that we have a responsibility to ensure that we go to the highest court in the land to test if indeed the enforceability of our act or our finding, Honorable Parliament.
Okay. Next. Who's next? It's just Honorable Sand, number two. Number three, Marov.
What's my number
four?
Three?
Five? Honorable Velma, number five. Six? Oh. Okay, Mam Store, number six. Honorable Kaola, number seven. Honorable Maisela, number eight. Honorable Maluleke, number nine. Well, now you have number ten. Honorable Tembewa, thank you very much.
Diabulela Sishalo. Thank you very much. My name is Terry Stander, and I'd like to find out, the CGE has gone through a bit of a rough patch in terms of the internal dynamics. It seems that there's been a bit of power play within the CGE as well. As a recently serving commissioner, how are you going to contribute to team cohesion between the commissioners? There is going to be a new intake of commissioners in there, but there are still going to be commissioners who are part of the previous arrangement, let's call it. So how are you going to ensure that commissioners work together as a team? What's your role there? And then secondly, you've served a term with the CGE. What were you particularly responsible for in the CGE? You seem to have a great deal of experience with education and awareness workshops, and also media and publicity building profiles. Also, you were responsible for the information technology and communication. What have you done in the CGE that you can take ownership of, and what is your plans for the next 5 years that you might serve? Because we know that education and awareness has been one of the weaker points of the CGE. And yet you were the chairperson allocated to that, so that's why I'm asking, with your background and experience, how did you contribute, you yourself, within the CGE? What do you want to do in the next 5 years? Diabole.
Thanks, Honorable Stanza. The first question, I sit here today that for the first time in the life of the CGE, we had clean audit. And I was part of the finance committee. And that, for me, is one thing that I think that in the country, the CGE, because where CGE has been known with, the negative media reports, but that clean audit, and with me and other colleagues as part of the collective, is something that makes me proud of what we've achieved. But secondly, and a correction, I was not part of the education. I was a chairperson of the ITC and communication. There were two. I agree. In the ITC and stroke communication, we have committees. I was a chairperson of the ITC committee and communication. Now, I think I also, again, with the greatest humility, take away that we have seen an upshot of positive media coverage in the CGE, and I think unraveled. And other than the clean audit, and I can safely say that the group of us that were there, there has been cohesion, there's been working together greatly in terms of what you've achieved with communication with ITC. But the other difficult question from you was that recently there has been a problem internally with, and the beauty about it, the irony of it is that it had nothing to do with mismanagement of funds, and it had to do with the chairperson and the staff. But among ourselves, all of the 11 or the 12 commissioners, there's not been a single disagreement in terms of internal wrangling or fighting. This was a matter that I think if I have to go back in answering your question, I think we have, all of us as commissioners, to be very clear on understanding as to, but there are these thin lines that all of us must be clear about where governance is. Where do I fit in as a commissioner? But how do I then liaise, interact with staff, with secretariat generally? But also, and we've been able to do all of these because if I think if the chairperson was able to, these difficult relationship that she has had with the CEO, if it was well handled and her understanding that, look, as a chairperson of the board, that there are things that I can't say, I can't do with or to the staff or with the CEO, that these lines must be very clear. So, but as far as there's not been conflict among ourselves, the staff, that is why, Honourable Standard, we were with one voice that, and if I go back, is that with the new commissioners that we have to ask the fundamental question.
Thank
what
you.
Is it
thank
the
you. In that note, thank you, Mr. Porter, the new chair in the house.
Thank you.
Must respect you. 3 minutes. Your 3 minutes is gone. Honourable Robinson, this is your turn.
Thank you very much, Chair. And Mr. Buta, I'm very glad that there has been a turnaround within the CGE. When I first started with it, and Honourable Tseke was part of it, there were so many problems. But through closer involvement with us as the committee and closer reporting, I think we have pulled out the strengths. And I just want to say I'm very glad that you were able to help so that we've got a clean audit. The questions I wanted to ask have actually been asked by my two colleagues prior to you. So I just want to say, as you know, my concern has always been with deep rural areas, women who have got little support, few tutuzela centres, few police stations, magistrates, courts, and there's generally a lack of knowledge amongst the people of what their rights are, but there's also a lack of support. What can you do as a commissioner to strengthen the input from the CGE, you know, funding is a problem, but also from holding government accountable, the justice system and the policing? How can we improve the lot of women so that they are not just thrown out to the wolves and abandoned?
Thank you, Honourable Robinson. I think that the deep rural area, and to speak from an experience working in Limpopo, we have one of the ways of ensuring that, because of the lack of resources, is to make sure that you work with other like-minded organizations. And we have achieved a great deal in that respect. But again, we in Limpopo, we have the success in terms of the responsiveness of the police in particular has been great because our relationship with the staff there and the provincial commissioner and the top level police in that area has been phenomenal in that we have direct line where we would complain, and there's been cases of success, cases of prosecution as a direct result of what the commission has done. So in short is that it's going to be important for us to be strategic like we've been, but also to deepen those strategies of working with people that stakeholders is very important. Honourable Robinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boda. I was the person who was supposed to follow up Mrs. Robinson, but with the powers vested in me, I'm taking the next speaker. I'll be the last speaker to ask questions to Mr. Boda. So who follows Mrs.? Oh, it's you. Okay, thanks, Honourable. Can you take over?
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. I am Wilma Nieuwhout-Droeken, and voicing me is a sign language interpreter, Delphin. I phrased my question in a similar way throughout these interviews, but you are a recently serving commissioner, so I will just rephrase it a bit. Your time on the commission, what has been done for for people with disabilities. I know that deaf people are the most marginalized because they don't have easy access to information. And I know as well that their awareness of the CGE and its role is almost non-existent. So it's so bad that on social media, pictures, photos on social media, about deaf people and inappropriate pictures are on social media. Just recently, there was a case in KwaZulu-Natal. It's a great pity that the sign language interpreter did not want to go to that area to interpret in the court because the area is not safe, that particular area in KwaZulu-Natal. And they don't have registered, qualified sign language interpreters in the area. So the interpreters who are not from that area felt not safe to go. The case itself was about a deaf man who thought it was okay to have sex with his own children. And it went to court, but he needed access to court. He needed a sign language interpreter, but sign language interpreters didn't want to go to that area. So I personally feel it's a responsibility of the court and the chief interpreter to make sure that there is access for the people. But my biggest concern is when the case is thrown out by the judge because there is no interpreter, because there's no communication, all those reasons, and it's about access to information. So if you are reappointed to the commission, what would you make sure of, or how would you make sure that people with disabilities, people who don't have access to information, people in the deep rural areas, people with disabilities in those deep rural areas, how would you use your position as a commissioner to make sure that the access is available? I mean, they're different commissioners in different provinces. So how would you do that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think that one has got to concede that we have not had a chairperson, we have not had a comprehensive disability focused program. One has got to concede that it is, in fact, a blind spot, has always been. What has happened is that we've had these touch-and-go programs, if you like. But I think in answering your question, access to justice and the socio-economic conditions of people living with disabilities, I think it's going to be important. If I am given a privilege and an honor to serve, it's going to be important for us to approach the magistrate commission who are at the coalface of dealing with inequality. So, and then we have not done, I think, the past 5 years, have not done this. But also the Justice Department and judiciary in general, and I know that there is a school where judges, magistrates are trained. I think it's going to be important, even at that level, for the commission to make its presence felt.
Next. Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. What is the role of men in attainment of gender equality? And we know there has been a number of awareness campaigns to educate and socialize men about gender equality. How else can we ensure the men are champions of gender equality? And I'm asking this because as South Africa, you were recognized by SADC that women here, the he for she, we were given an award, and I expect you are going to be giving us a good answer. Thank you.
Honourable Study, I think that there's a problem in that in the many years one has worked with men and boys, there is this unexplained threat that men has towards gender equality or equality or the empowerment of women. So there has been, and I'm saying unexplained because the past week, the social development had a conference. We had about plus or minus 150 men for 3 days from Friday up until Sunday. And there was the overriding voice was that men were feeling threatened about empowerment. But if you ask as to, because we still are in charge of the levers of power. So I think one of the strategies that we one has got to do if one is given an opportunity to go back is to work with, I think we have a sitting president, and for the first time in the history of the country, it did not happen with all the, our presidents, where you have a president who says that all men must stand, at a gathering, all men must stand who say that this will not happen in our name. Now, you we have a, I think one of the things that's going to be very important in the in if I'm given opportunity is the president championing it, because already there's a fertile ground. You have a president who really believes that, and who really believes that violence against women will not be attained or achieved without engaging men, but engaging them as allies. So, Mom Story, I think it's going to be critical and important that the president puts, his which has already done, his voice, but also where we put money into it. So that your total shutdown, your not in my name, that the commission works closely with them, it works closely with the Ministry of Women, so that we don't work in silos, but we understand that each has their different mandates, and so but because the problem of femicide in the country is very huge.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ngibonge ngibingelele emhlonishwa bhota lapho ngaphambili. Okwami lana ngibhekelela ukuthi yebo subuyisi item yesibili. Bengifuna Bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi emakhaya sizolokhu sigqigqile emakhaya abantu bakhona bayahlupheka if mhlambe banalabo abantu abakhubazekile akekho umuntu ofikayo azobanikeza ulwazi ukuthi lo muntu okhubazekile nawe uyefana nabanye abantu. So lowo muntu kufanele akunikezwe ama-rights akhe njengokuthi afunde, masefundile, akwazi ukuthi aqhubeke kwi-next level, mhlawumbe azagcine naye abe udokotela or abe umantshi. Siyesibone la kodrobheni koDurban tholukuthi imantshi ihamba nge-wheelchair. Kodwa emakhaya lawo ma-information akafiki, especially kubantu bakithi abamnyama. Bagcina uma benalezi ayingane kuthiwa ilokhuzane, kuthiwa isiphiwo sikankulunkulu nje, phela kurilaywe ukuthi hanjwe bayohola le mali esibonelele i-disability grant. Umbuzo wami uthi yini ma ngabe manje siyakuthatha, uzokwenza kanjani ukuthi usabalale uye endaweni ezisemakhaya uyoba neyimbizo namakhosi noma neyinduna just ukusabalalisa lolu lwazi ukuthi nanka amalungelo akhona, ngoba i-most emakhaya amalungelo abantu bakhona bawazi. Yingakho ubona even ogogo nje uthotha iy'mpesheni zabo baya ziyabanjwa inkunzi, bayaresho emakhaya, akekho umuntu obasizayo because kunalama-information ukuthi awekho. Nale nto zokusiza ka ama-social work emakhaya awekho. Singeke sikhohlisane, police station awekho, akukho lutho emakhaya. Yini wena ozogcizelela ukuthi emakhaya uzoya khona? Kunale nto yokuthi nje abantu bamnyama, ngisho nalana eDurban abaningi engibaziyo, bakhala ngokuthi iy'ngane zabo kuvele kuthiwa manje hhayi wena sugcinile awukwazi ukuqhubeka, noma ingane mhlawumbe ibiphasile kufanele iqhubekele phe kwi-next level, bayayistopa. nginazo nje ingane ezithu ezazingikhalela ngalolu nto uzolekelela kanjani ungenele kulezo ikole ekwazi ukukhat off ilokhuzana impilo yomunye umuntu ngiyabonga
Good afternoon, Honorable Porter. Mine is just a leakage. It's more to the people in the rural areas. I'm going to stress this issue of rural areas. You are aware that there are many people who are disabled in rural areas, and there is a lack of information. If one happens to have a disabled child, they don't get enough information. Especially when it comes to the issues of education, they don't get enough education. Sometimes they will be told that if after reaching a certain level, they won't be able to continue with their schooling. So, and the other parents, they will accept their disabled children as they were given those children. They don't empower them. So if you were to be reappointed as a commissioner again, how are you going to assist the people in rural areas to ensure that the information is escalated to all rural areas, to ensure that the people in rural areas receive enough information, the mothers of this, the parents of these disabled children, they get enough information, so that we try to cap this tendency of these disabled children to rely on the grants, because this is the case at the present moment. Say roughly, that's all.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mam Kaula and Chairperson. I think this is important in that, and like I responded in the first question on disability, that in the CG we have what we call our APPs. And these are the guiding documents or things that we want to achieve. And I think, Honorable Mam Kaula, it's going to be important that disability becomes one of the central pieces. In the same way that when I arrived at the CGA, I actually persuaded members that working with men and boys, it has to be a program within the CGA. In the same way that a colleague of mine, who is also part of the interviews, Commissioner Mazibuko, and I, who are people living with disabilities, it's going to be important for us to actually pursue that the CGE puts, Chairperson, we put a focus program on disability so that we know if I work in Limpopo, there is a program. If a colleague of mine works in KZN, there's a program that says it's not just a by the way or an afterthought, but it's a dedicated focus program. But again, Honorable Mkaula, it's going to be important for us and to emphasize that working with people who already are in the field and they have resources, and if you like, where we piggyback once we maintain and sustain our independence.
Chairperson, thank you very much. You are a commissioner in Limpopo, and you know that Limpopo is a place where there are rural areas. Most of the places there are rural. And I believe that your office, it's in the center of the city. It's in Polokwane. But did you make sure that a person in Hamdintan, in the village, knows about CGE? A person at Le Roro, there, by the Stratum Tunnel, they understand what CGE is all about. And if you have not done that, what is it that you can do when you are reappointed as a commissioner to ensure that CGE is visible at all areas, whether urban or rural? But I'm interested in rural areas because that's where the poor of the poorest are, and those people, they need the services of the CGE. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member, I again, let me concede that Chairperson, we would have wanted to do more. And I have a strongest team, honourable member, in Limpopo. Amazing, dedicated young people that even my fear is that some of them would lose them because you have a young man who's a lawyer, you have a provincial manager, amazing education officer. And the point I'm making is that I know that I would be in the province for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, in going to the most rural areas. But then again, there's this limitation of the resources. But I think, again, I keep on going back, Chairperson, that one of the strategies that one could do to deal with lack of finance is how do I make sure that there are these offices that we work with and very well, that these offices, we work closely with them. I've been able to get into the local media, which the local media community newspapers and community radios. I mean, you would be at Hamashashani, you would be Hampashele, all of those. One of the best ways to vehicles or avenues is to use radio, both SABC, which has huge footprint, but also community radio stations. But importantly, working with Chairperson, you've got different advice centers in those different areas in the rural of the rural in Limpopo. But what has been gratifying, honourable member, has been that the reception. But again, one has to concede that one has not been able to do what one would have wanted to do, and probably the next 5 years is appointed gives one an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to go back and deepen that work that has already been done. Because already, we've got these relationships that work very well. We have people that believe in the CGE. I mean, cases that we receive of rape, some of them writing letters to the CGE about how this woman was burned with acid, that she has not been given access to justice, coming to the CGE, where Dennis, a lawyer, or someone at Blood River. I mean, there are these examples I could give, spend the whole day on a member, about the interaction between the CGE and the communities. So I think it's going to be important that we continue doing this, mindful of the fact that we may have this shoestring budget, but how then do we ensure that we work around it? The point I'm making is that there's a lot of progress that has been done. We need to enhance and upscale that progress.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different outcomes, it's not helpful. You can't get those different outcomes. And when you started, I was almost scared when you said you're going to do anti-this, anti-that, anti-this, anti-that, concentrating on boys and things. If you do that, you are merely transferring what you were doing on the other side, concentrating on girls or women and things like that. Now you concentrate on boys and boys and boys. And it's not good for work. It's the same thing. So, you won't have time to do the cohesive together, bringing these things together and making sure it's one. We want to build a united, non-sexist, non-racist, prosperous, democratic society. And for that, you can't do it when you compartmentalize the component. So this side is women, this side is men, and you want to build a cohesive society. And you can't build society of old people. Right? If you want to build a society, what you would a nation be first instilling the youth? You build a cohesive society by bringing the children together, the youth, and socializing them to achieve what you want to achieve. Because we have fossil minds now. Our perception is stultified. You can't grow out of that box anymore. We have these perceptions which are cemented in our brains. So, but the children, brains are still impressionable. You can still mold their minds and do whatever you want with their minds. So with the little resources that you have, don't you think it is better to spend it trying to build a cohesive nation? So that, you see, prevention is better than cure. If you prevent children from becoming patriarchal and realize that it's a cohesive society, then they won't be able, you won't be able to need the resources to cure that. Now, having understood this, are you going to change your way of working and say, this is what we've been doing over and over again up to now? Let's change, shift the paradigm and do it differently and see whether we can get different. And what will be your strategic objective to do the strategy to achieve that?
For thank you. Your time for the question. Have you asked the question already? Oh, okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Dr. Maisel. I think it's a valid point, especially about what do we do with impressionable mind, as you put it. I think, as I said earlier, that it's going to be important to, and which is what we've been doing, I think we must maybe accelerate it in, but also getting the education department coming in. I mean, the president in his State of the Nation spoke about early childhood. Imagine, Dr. Maisela, what would happen if early childhood, in that you then integrate issues of gender equality, focus on it, where I am able to, the camp I spoke to you about, where together with the SGBs, with the parents, we have these camps that focuses on the little ones, on respecting each other's bodies, but where you, both of them, boys and girls, where role play, because we know that, and there's evidence that children learn better with role plays. So I agree with you that early childhood would be great, but then we move forward, we move beyond the schools. And as I said, if you have communities from your madrasa, your Islam schools, where you have the Jewish communities, where you have creches, all faith based, instead of us talking about, which is important, going to heaven to young boys and girls, but also ensuring that we make sure that these institutions of faith, of schools, they are actually we speak to them and teach them about what is it that we talk about equality. How do I respect his body, her body, both of them? And I agree with you that we must reach a point in the country where we say that, look, we need each other, we need one another. But I think also where we keep on emphasizing that gender equality means ensuring that women's empowerment becomes central in our efforts.
Honorable Sekeyana, the last one, but now it's Thembi White.
Thank you very much. My question is based on, as you are a well-known regular commentator and media resident expert on gender and related topics such as gender-based violence, etc., and you also host regular programs on radio, it means you write and you also speak the verbal and written, the print media. My question is there any restriction to the contents of your presentations, be it verbal or written, the programs by the media itself? Is your presentations or the contents of your presentations guided on the identified needs of problems by the communities themselves? Because you mentioned that you are frequently called on by mass audience publication, such as the Sunday Times, and then et cetera, to contribute to the guest articles. My argument is the unaffordability of the newspapers to the communities that don't have? How possible is it that you can create simple awareness programs of the existence of CEG, the one that can be read and understood by an ordinary person who is part of the communities? Number two, as you are called a commissioner, one of the resolved principles of CGE is to avoid a culture of ostentation. Did you or are you aware that whether the culture of ostentation is upheld or not? And if ever not, how do you intend to improve or uphold this principle, say you are appointed as a or reappointed as a commissioner? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Chairperson, I need to ask the member to explain ostentatious. I don't know the term. It may be a learning curve for me. I don't want to behave like men where you think that you are an alpha and omega. I don't know the term.
Thank you very much, but unfortunately, it's part of the contents of the CGE policy, so it's reflected there. So unfortunately, I can't be able to explain that to you.
Honorable Temboy. Honorable Sandler.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure that the candidates can answer in terms of the policy and CGE specific, but the definition of ostentatious is characterizing by pretentious or showy, designing to impress. So maybe in terms of the doctor's question, she's asking specifically in terms of ostentation, meaning flamboyance, that kind of thing.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I, having said that, there were two...
Honorable Temboy, were you talking about it in relation to budget? Oh.
But she decided to comment. Let her continue.
It's not her question. It's not her question. That's why I'm saying you were talking about ostentation in relations to budget. You know, in relations to budget, it's when you are using money as if you do have. But you know, those people who act big, extravagant. That's ostentation. So you at CGE, you had less budget, and how were you managing your programs in terms of using your finances? I think she was asking you in relation to budget.
Thanks, Chairperson, for the explanation. I think that we have tried our best that we would not. There are things that I know that the Secretariat, CEO in particular, would actually be stringent, and some of us would support her that there are things that we would want to do. But if they fall outside our APPs, outside the mandate of the CGE, we will not do them. So flamboyancy, it's not something that we would do. But the Honourable Member had asked also about the media, Sunday Times, and very good points that the Honourable Member had raised. And I think that I have made sure that in the work that I do, one of the best vehicles, Honourable Member, is community radio. If you go to a community, Ratlo community station, you know that your message, the poorest of the poor, the most illiterate, if you like, is able to hear you in the language which is accessible. So you would also, when you write for Sunday Times or for the other medias, you would also have to make a decision that I want to reach this particular, what they would call your particular LSM, that this is a certain level I want to write for this particular with a message, so that you also move away, honorable member, to think that issues of violence, issues of rape are actually a preserve of those that are poor, when in fact they are societal issues. So I think the community newspapers are critical, the community radio are critical, in that you also have a way where people own these programs. They own the work that the CG does. I mean, you have your SABC in particular has footprints in almost all areas. If you speak to a radio like Ukhozi Metro, you are likely to speak to well over 10 million people. And where they also call and want to find out questions about what is this sexual harassment. So the point I'm making is that we've been able to use what we have in a very stringent way without, I think I can say, without any wastages. But secondly, that we've also been able to reach masses of people using these community radios and community newspapers in the language that people understand and they're able to relate to.
Honorable, thank you very much, Mr. Botha. Honorable Seke, we are the last one.
Okay, thank you very much, Che, and thank you very much. Good evening, Botha. South Africa is one of the member states.
Honorable Seke, you know, Honorable Kaula. She spoke, ne? And the interpreter even interpreted. Ne? Okay. Honorable Seke.
We'll call the bouncers. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Che. And my question to you, Mr. Porter. South Africa is one of the member states that have adopted the sustainable development goals. From a gendered perspective, how would you ensure that gender is mainstreamed in the achievement of sustainable development goal number 2, which is about ending hunger, achieve food security and improved nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture?
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you. I think that one of the ways to ensure that the MDGs become alive, MDGs, they become alive, is I think it's going to be important that, Department of Agriculture, the Department of Human Settlement, in fact, all the departments, I think it's going to be critical, Honorable Secretary, that they make, when we talk about mainstream, they make, some of these programs, ending hunger, ending poverty, sustainable livelihoods, they become part and parcel of their programs in a more sustainable way, so that we do not only celebrate or mark goal number 2 only when there is a particular calendar event. The point I'm making, Honorable Tech, is that I think it's going to be very important for the CGE in our monitoring role to make sure that we ask questions as to, but the Department of Fisheries, Department of Water, Department of Agriculture, what are you doing to ensure that, women are empowered? If the women have got access to land, do they have the resources? Do you have the means? Our only way is to make sure that we hold them accountable and ask them to give us reports as to what is it that they do in making sure that these goals are attained, or this one in particular is attained.
You are done. Ne? Thank you very much, honorable members and Mr. Botha. Thank you very much for coming. Wish you good luck. We have learned a lot from you, and we wish you safe traveling back to Gauteng. You say Gauteng, ne? Yeah, safe to Gauteng. you'll hear from us in due course after we've deliberated tomorrow. Ne? Tomorrow. No, I'm saying we are going to deliberate on our location, interview outcomes tomorrow. Ne? Yeah, and then you, Nelly, so I think is the one who will be communicating with all our candidates. But thank you very much. Keep doing the good work.